my mother, who was 20 years old at the time, got up in the morning and didn't feel good. And she'd been arguing with my father. Mm-hmm. So she thought maybe that they were just out of sorts, but called her mother and said, "Mom, I don't feel very good. I think there's something wrong." She says, "I can't walk."
She had a baby.
And also, she had a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. And so Grandma decided that she should come over and visit with her. And by the time she got there, my mother was in bed. Mm-hmm. She's 8.5 months pregnant.
With you.
With me. She was admitted to St. Luke's Hospital. And within a very brief period of time, was diagnosed with bulbar polio. Mm-hmm. And bulbar polio essentially paralyzed her from the neck down. Mm-hmm. She was put in an iron lung. Saturday, August 20th, 1949, she went into labor and was removed from the iron lung for about 10 minutes.
Only and, 10 minutes. Wow.
And force ventilated to, while I was born. Mm-hmm. And so I was Spokane's iron lung baby. Mm. She made it known to them that regardless of what it required of her, she wanted me to be born. And on September 5th, 1949, she died. Pretty tough time for all of us. Tough time for my father. I think for a long time, he held me responsible for that. I remember I was never allowed to speak of my mother or talk about her. I remember being 17 years old, and he was mad at me in the yard one day. And he said, "You killed your mother. And I will never forgive you for that." It was hard. I'd had 3 stepmothers before my 6th birthday, because he had a hard time figuring out his life.
Sure.
You know, it's tough being 22 years old and losing a wife, and then 2 years later my older brother died suddenly of spinal meningitis, and he tells the story of deciding he was going to end his life. Mm-hmm. He decided he just couldn't handle it anymore. He was 24 years old. He'd lost a wife and a son, and I was living with my grandmother at the time. And he decided he'd go down to the Monroe Street Bridge in Spokane and end his life. And so he said he went down there, he took his wallet out and put it on the rail of the bridge, climbed over the bridge, and he said, "It's 4 o'clock in the morning." And he's standing there holding onto the bridge, looking over at the water. And he said a car pulled up on the bridge and stopped. And this old black gentleman got out of the car, and he wandered up, leaned on the bridge rail there, and he said, "Beautiful morning, isn't it?" And my father said, he looked at him, and I said, "It's a beautiful morning to die." And the old boy said, "You know, I was at home sleeping in my bed, and God woke me up and said, 'You need to go for a ride in your car.'" He said, I looked up, and I said, "Lord, I'm tired. I'm sleeping." And he said, the Lord told him, he says, "You need to go for a ride in your car." He said, "I've been driving around for a while, and see you standing here on the bridge," he said. "Maybe you're the one I'm supposed to talk to." And about that time, my father's pretty upset, and he just told him to leave him alone. And the car pulled, another car pulled up behind this older gentleman's car and began to honk the horn. And so then the horns are honking, and Dad said he climbed over the rail and picked up his wallet, and they went and had a cup of coffee and talked for a while. And finally the old boy said, "Well, do you want me to take you back to the bridge?" And my father said, I looked at him and I said, "Well, today is not a very good day to die. But you know, I'm grateful to an old black gentleman who listened to God, who got out of bed, went for a ride in his car, and gave me an opportunity to not lose both parents."